إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan Hafidhullah. Then last week we had points number 16 to number 24, the points pertaining to Allah the Most High and His attributes. مَا زَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا قَبْلَ خَلْقِهِ. He has always had his attributes before his act of creation. لَمْ يَزْدَدْ بِكَوْنِهِمْ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَكُنْ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ صِفَتِهِ. He was not increased in anything by the creation of the creation. That was not already his attribute. وَكَمَا كَانَ بِصِفَاتِهِ أَزَلِيًّا كَذَلِكَ لَا يَزَالُ عَلَيْهَا أَبَدِيًّا. And just as he has always possessed his attributes, then likewise he will always possess them forever. لَيْسَ بَعْدَ خَلْقِ الْخَلْقِ اسْتَفَادَ اسْمَ الْخَالِقِ. He did not acquire the name, the Creator, after the creation of the creation. وَلَا بِإِحْدَاثِ الْبَرِيَّةِ اسْتَفَادَ اسْمَ الْبَارِي. Nor did he acquire the name, the originator and maker, after giving existence to the beings. لَهُ مَعْنَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَلَا مَرْبُوبِ وَمَعْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَلَا مَخْلُوقِ. He possessed the meaning of lordship and nurturing without there being any slaves present. And the meaning of, he possessed the meaning of being the creator without there being any creation. وَكَمَا أَنَّهُ مُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بَعْدَ أَحْيَا بَعْدَ مَا أَحْيَا اِسْتَحَقَّ هَذَا الْإِسْمَ قَبْلَ إِحْيَائِهِمْ كَذَلِكَ اسْتَحَقَّ اسْمَ الْخَالِقِ قَبْلَ إِنْشَائِهِمْ. And just as he is the one who is the giver of life to the dead after he gives them life, then he deserved this name before he gave life to them. And likewise, he deserved the name, the Creator, before he created and produced them. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. That is because he has full power and ability over everything. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرٍ. And everything is totally dependent upon him. And the author At-Tahawi rahimahullah, he continues with the next point, point number 25, continuing. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ عَلَيْهِ يَسِيرٍ. And every affair is easy for him. Meaning that every affair is easy for Allah. Every single affair is easy for Allah. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ عَلَيْهِ يَسِيرٍ. And every affair is easy for him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, beginning by quoting an ayah in that regard, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Surah Yasin, the 36th surah, ayah 82. With the explanation, his affair, if he wills something, is just that he says to it, be, and it is. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he gives life and gives death, and he creates and gives provision, and he gives and he withholds. And he gives life to the dead after they have passed away. And that is easy for him. He, the perfect and most high. All of that is easy for him. He, the perfect and most high. Nothing is a burden for him. And nothing is difficult for him. Contrary to the creation. Because things are a burden or a hardship. I mean, for the people, doing things is a burden or a hardship. And some things he will be incapable of doing. As for a person from the creation, then some things are hard for him to do. Or they're a burden upon him, they require effort from him. And there's other things that he's incapable, he can't do them. But as for Allah, then there is nothing difficult for him. Nothing is difficult for him. And he quotes the ayah, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا Surah Luqman, the 31st surah, ayah 28. With the explanation, the creation of you all and the resurrection of you all is just like that of a single soul. And as an extra point, as we had this ayah before, we also mentioned as a side point what At-Tabari brings with a good chain of narration from the famous Tabi'i, the famous Mufassir from the Tabi'een, famous student of Ibn Abbas, Mujahid. That Mujahid, rahimahullah, he said about this ayah, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ You'll create the creation of all of you. And the resurrection of all of you is just like that of a single soul. Mujahid said, يقول كن فيكون للقليل والكثير. It is just that Allah says be, kun, and it is. Whether it is something, a small amount, or a great amount. Allah just says be, and it is. Then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues in what is brought here as the 26th point. لا يحتاج إلى شيء. He has no need of anything. Allah has no need whatsoever of anything. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Allah, the one free of all imperfections, is ghani. He is totally independent of everything. So Allah has no need of the creation. Since He is Al-Ghani, the independent one, free of any need. So He it is who is the one who gives to the creation. He, the one free of all imperfections. Then for the next point, point number 27, he brings an ayah, At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, brings an ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ The ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, famous ayah that we should all be aware of and aware of how this ayah is an evidence. Ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 11. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ That as for Allah, there is nothing like unto Him. And He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, this is a negation, a denial, a negation of tashbih. This is a negation of there being anything like Allah, the one free of all imperfections. And the kaf occurring in the ayah, ka, laysa ka mithlihi shay. Shaykh Fawzan said the kaf here is for emphasis, to emphasize the negation. Like as occurs in a different ayah, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 70. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا Meaning like the ba that occurs in the ayah, بِاللَّهِ He's saying because in this ayah from Surah An-Nisa, in origin it would usually be said, وَكَفَى اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا And Allah is sufficient as a knower. But here in the ayah it's brought, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا So this extra ba is in the ayah for emphasis. He said this extra ba is brought here for emphasis. So he's saying likewise, the ayah that we have in the text here, لَيْسَ كَ مِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ So that kaf there is for emphasis, to emphasize that there is nothing like unto him, to stress upon that. Then he said, Shaykh Fawzan, and nothing whatsoever resembles him, not the angels, and not the prophets, and not the messengers, and not the beloved servants of Allah, nor any created being. So that's the first part, what's indicated in the first part of the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing like unto him. There's nothing like Allah. As the Shaykh just said, no angel, no prophet, no messenger, no beloved servant, nor any created being whatsoever. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ The end of the ayah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. The Shaykh said, so he called himself As-Sami', the all-hearing one, Al-Basir, the all-seeing one. So then he makes the point that we've had, but it can never be emphasized enough. He said, so the beginning of the ayah, when he says the beginning of the ayah, meaning, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing like him. The Shaykh said, so the beginning of the ayah contains a refutation of the Mushabbiha, those who liken Allah to the creation. And the end of it contains a refutation of the mu'attila, those who deny Allah's attributes. Obviously the end of the ayah meaning, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. That contains a refutation of those who deny attributes for him. And it indicates, then he makes the third point, which we should also know very well. And it indicates that affirming his names and attributes does not necessitate resemblance to the created beings. So the hearing and seeing of the created beings does not resemble the hearing and seeing of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Of course, the Shaykh is stressing this point, this third point here, because as we know, those people who either outrightly deny or negate Allah's attributes, or some of them, or try and twist their meanings away, it's because of their misunderstanding that if we affirm attributes for Allah, that means you're likening him to the creation. So Shaykh is making the point here, as is clear from this ayah, because the ayah contains a denial of there being anything like Allah, and it contains affirmation of attributes for him. So we understand from those two points gathered together that affirming Allah's attributes in no way means that we are likening him to the creation. Then the next point, point number 28, خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ He created the creation whilst having full knowledge. created the creation whilst having full knowledge. And just in case someone wonders why I translated this phrase this particular way, then Ibn Abil Izz, in his larger explanation, then he said with regard to this phrase, خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِإِلْمِهِ, he said, meaning, he created them having full knowledge of them. This is what the At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, is saying here, meaning that Allah created the creation having full knowledge of them. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in his explanation, he, the one free of all imperfection, said, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Surah Tabarak, the 67th surah, obviously mean Surah Tabarak or Surah Mulk, the 67th surah, ayah 14, with the explanation, should he who created not know, and he is the subtle and kind, the fully aware. Was the Shaykh quoting this ayah as a proof for this point here? Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so his creating is a proof of his knowledge, he the perfect and most high. Allah's creating the creation is a proof of his knowledge and of his power, just as he the most high said, and then he quotes another ayah as proof. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 44, with the explanation, nothing in the heavens or the earth can render Allah incapable. Allah is ever all-knowing, all-powerful. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation on this particular point. And as an extra point, then Ibn Abil Izz, again in his larger explanation, in his famous explanation, he goes into the issue here, which I'll just mention briefly, in refutation of the Mu'tazila. And they're like those who say that Allah, they don't affirm that Allah knew about his creation before he created them. And indeed, the Mu'tazila, they don't even affirm knowledge for Allah at all. To the extent that one of them, in a debate that's quoted from him, Wallahu A'lam, about the authenticity of the chain of narration, but they mention, and the Mu'tazila do mention, when it said to them, affirm for Allah knowledge, then they responded, what we say is, we don't say he's ignorant. We won't say that Allah is ignorant. So they're told, then say that Allah has knowledge. But they withhold. They won't even affirm that for Allah. Because of their evil principle of denying attributes for him, they can't even get it in themselves to affirm even knowledge for Allah. So they just say, we'll say that he's not ignorant. So then it was said to them, then you've not affirmed anything for Allah. You've not affirmed any perfection for him then. If you won't even affirm knowledge for him, all you'll say, he's not ignorant. Saying that someone is not ignorant is not praise of that person. And as they say, as some of the people said in this matter, they say, because you can say about a brick wall, the brick wall is not ignorant. Because the brick wall is not ignorant, because it can't be ignorant. So saying that something is not ignorant is not praise. Unless you add to that, because we affirm knowledge. So the Mu'tazila, these evildoers, they wouldn't even affirm, some of them wouldn't even affirm knowledge for Allah. Free is Allah and far above what they say about him and attribute to him. Then with regard to the next point, point number 29. So here, of course, we had the point. At-Tahawi brought, خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ, that Allah indeed created the creation whilst having full knowledge, meaning complete knowledge of them. whatever they were and whatever they will be, and so on. And with regard to point number 29, وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا, and he decreed fixed limits for them. And he decreed fixed limits for them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah the Mighty and Majestic, Allah the Majestic and Most High, decreed the fixed limits. What's this point? Qaddara, relating to Qadr. Allah the Mighty, or rather Allah the Majestic and Most High, decreed the fixed limits. And things do not come into existence without pre-decreed limits. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a proof for that. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 21. With the explanation, there is nothing except that its stores of provision are with us. And we do not send it down except in accordance with a pre-decreed measure. إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Except, we don't send it down except in accordance with a known pre-decreed measure. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so everything is preordained by Allah with set limits and forms that will not change or vary. So Allah decreed man. Allah decreed man. Allah decreed his body, how it would be, and his senses, and his limbs, and his bodily structure, and his weight, so that he became a justly balanced person who walks and stands. And if anything from the limbs or structure were missing, lacking, then the whole of the body would suffer from a defect. Sheikh said, and the same thing applies to the rest of the things in existence. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th surah, ayah 8. And with the explanation, and everything has a decreed measure with us. Sheikh said, so everything in creation, everything has set ordained limits which regulate it. And everything has limits which are different to the limits of other things. Each thing in creation has got its own set limits, different to the limits of other things in creation that Allah has laid down. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And as a further point here, Ibn Abi al-Izz, in his larger explanation, he mentions an evidence for this point. وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا. And Allah laid down fixed limits for them. As an evidence for this, Ibn Abi al-Izz quotes a proof from the Sunnah that everything in creation has a limit which Allah laid down for it before its creation. So he quotes the hadith reported by Muslim from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلْقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. From Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah pre-decreed the limits for the creation, the fixed limits for the creation, before He created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years, and His throne was upon the water. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And Allah's throne was upon the water. And for the next point, obviously we can see these points are all, as last time, all these points are connected. So as for point number 30, وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا, and He laid down fixed time spans for them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the created beings have lifespans and they have an end. He, the Perfect, said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Surah Al-Rahman, the 55th surah, ayahs 26 to 27. With the explanation, everyone upon the earth will pass away, and the face of your Lord, possessing majesty and honor, will remain. And the Shaykh quotes a second evidence. He said, and He, the Perfect, said, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th surah, ayah 88. The explanation, everything will perish except for His face, except for Allah's face. If we remember, then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah used both these two same ayahs as evidence for the same matter, or he used both these ayahs rather in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah as evidence for proving an affirmation of Allah's face. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so everything has a limited lifespan set by Allah, the Perfect. Either a short lifespan or a long one. And he quotes a proof for that as well. He said, He, the Perfect, said, وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِن مُعَمَّرٍ وَلَا يَنْقُ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 11. With the explanation, and no aged man, no old man, is given long life, nor is a person's life made short, except that it is written in the preserved tablet. Allah al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. That is easy for Allah. The Shaykh said, so the lifespans are in His hand, He, the Perfect and Most High. So this proves perfection and completeness of His Lordship, and the perfection and completeness of His power. فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. So whatever Allah willed, happens. And whatever He did not will, does not happen. Barakallah. And with regard to the next point, point number 31, then for that, the author said, وَلَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ. And nothing was hidden from him before he created them. And nothing was hidden from him, from Allah, before he created them, before he created the creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, rather, he knows all things before they exist. It is not the case that he only knows them after they have happened. So the Shaykh is mentioning here a point. This is a point where the point of deviation of the Mu'tazila and the Rafida Shia, that they claim that Allah only knows things after they happen. That when they happen, when things happen in the creation, when they happen, then Allah knows. So this point is a refutation of the like of their evil saying. The Shaykh made clear here that rather he, Allah, knows all things before they existed, before the people existed. And it is not the case that he only knows them after they occur. In that regard, Ibn Abil Izz says in his explanation, we'll just quote what he quotes, a paragraph in explanation of this point. So he says, since he, the one free of all imperfections, he knows whatever was and whatever will be and whatever will not be. It's a point we shouldn't forget as well. Allah knew whatever was in the past and whatever will be in the future and whatever will not be. Allah knows that as well. If it were to occur, how it would be. And it gives two ayahs to prove this last point. In case someone forgets that point, that Allah knew whatever was and whatever will be, and Allah knows whatever will not be as well. If it were to occur, how it would be. And he quotes two ayahs as proof of that. He said, just as he, the Most High, said, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 28. With the explanation, and if those people were to be sent back to the world, I mean the unbelievers, after their deaths, when they try and make an excuse for them, try and make pleas for themselves and ask to be sent back, and then if we sent back, we'll do good and righteousness. So Allah the Perfect said, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. And if they were to be sent back, they would go back to doing what they were forbidden from. They'd just go and again do what they were forbidden from. So that shows that Allah knew what would happen, that which is not going to happen. Allah knew that it was not going to happen, but Allah knew how it would be if it did happen. The Shaykh said, even though he knows that they will not be sent back, but he informed that if they were sent back, they would return to what they used to do. And he gives a second ayah. Just as he, the Most High, said, وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, ayah 23. With the explanation, and if Allah knew good about them, those unbelievers who don't listen and benefit from the Qur'an, that if Allah knew that there was good in them, then he would cause them to hear it. And if he caused them to hear it still, they would still turn away from it, turning away. If that happened, then Allah mentions this is what would be the case. If he made them hear, still they would turn away still. So the Shaykh said, so this contains a refutation of the Rafida Shia, and of the Qadariya, and those who say that he does not know something before he creates it and produces it. And these are matters springing from the matter of Qadr, pre-decree. And that will follow with further explanation, insha'Allah ta'ala, he said. وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقُهُمْ وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ. And he knew whatever they were going to do before he created them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he knew what the servants were going to do before he created them. That this person was one who is going to obey him, and that this person is one who is going to disobey him. Then the author's point number 33, وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَأْصِيَتِهِ. And he commanded them to obey him, and he forbade them from disobeying him. Obviously, this point is naturally connected to the last point, that Allah knew whatever the people were going to do before he created them. So just in case someone gets the idea that therefore Allah knows that, therefore that's the end of the matter, what's the point acting and trying to use that as an excuse? Allah knows what we're going to do, so as people trying to make an excuse, then the point is naturally brought by al-Tahawi here, straight after. وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ. And he commanded them to obey him, and he forbade them from disobeying him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, just as occurs in his saying, he the Most High, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Surah al-Dhariyat, Ayah 56, with the explanation, and I have not created jinn and mankind except so that they should worship me alone. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so first he created them, and then he commanded them with the worship of him, he the perfect and most high. So he commanded them to obey him and worship him, even though he knew before what they were going to do. However, the recompense, the reward or punishment, the recompense is not going to be given in accordance with that knowledge. The reward that Allah will give in the hereafter and the punishment that Allah will give in the hereafter, it won't be in accordance just that Allah knew those who would obey him, so therefore he's going to reward them straight away without any actions. And Allah knew the ones who would disobey him, so he'll punish them without them doing any actions. The Shaykh made the point, rather, the reward or punishment will come in accordance with actions. So Allah will not punish a person in accordance with his knowledge, with Allah's knowledge about him, until the person commits the sins. And Allah will not bestow the reward upon the doer of good until he does that. So the reward or punishment is given as a consequence of actions, not as a consequence of the knowledge, not as a consequence of Allah's knowing what he would do, and not as a consequence of al-qadr, the pre-decree. Just that Allah pre-decreed this person would be a person of success, so Allah gives him success without any actions. No. The Shaykh said, so there is a distinction between the knowledge and between the reward or punishment. So therefore, Allah commanded them and forbade them. Because the reward of, and they're not ascribed to Allah, except from the aspect that Allah is the one who created the actions, knew about them, decreed them, and guided the people to be the ones who perform them. Then as for point number 34, which is where we'll end for today, inshaAllah, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَجْرِي بِتَقْدِيرِهِ, and everything occurs in accordance with his pre-decree. Everything occurs, in accordance with Allah's pre-decree, his qadr. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, there is no doubt that everything occurs in accordance with his pre-decree. No good and no evil escapes the pre-decree of Allah. Nor any act of obedience, nor any sin, nor unbelief, nor iman, nor illness, nor health, nor a person being rich, nor a person being in poverty, nor knowledge, nor ignorance. Everything occurs in accordance with his pre-decree. There is nothing within his kingdom which he did not decree and did not will. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد. And that's where we'll leave these points. Obviously by the usual time for next lesson, then it will be Ramadan, inshaAllah. So as for the lessons in Aqidah Tahawiyah, then they will continue, inshaAllah, after Ramadan. As for the lessons in Riyadh Salihin, then there will be no lesson in Riyadh Salihin on this coming Friday. It will be moved until Saturday after Dhuhr, inshaAllah. Yeah, so this coming Saturday, the Riyadh Salihin lesson will be after Dhuhr, and from Saturday, obviously it will be Ramadan by then. The lesson in Riyadh Salihin will be after Dhuhr on Saturdays, inshaAllah, throughout Ramadan, inshaAllah. And as for Aqidah Tahawiyah, then after, it will begin again after Ramadan, inshaAllah. If there are any points of clarification. The point that was being made with regard to point number 33, that Allah knew whatever the people were going to do, Allah knew it. And Allah knew, before he even created the people, he knew which people would be people who would obey him, and he knew which people were going to disobey him. Allah knew all of that before he even created the people. But the Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he made the point, but Allah did not just then, that Allah knew what they were going to do. He didn't just then create them and put them straight into paradise. He didn't put the people who were going to obey him straight into paradise without any actions. And he didn't put the people who were going to disobey him, and he knew that they would disobey him, he didn't put them straight into the fire. Rather, he placed them upon the earth, and he ordered them to obey him, all of them, ordered them all to obey him. And he forbade them all from disobedience. And then the people of obedience obeyed Allah, and the people of disobedience disobeyed him. So based upon their actions, then Allah gives them the reward. So obviously the person in this world obviously intends good as well, and the person gets, as in the authentic narration, if a person intends good, but is not able to perform it, then he gets the reward for the intention. But the point here is not, He's making the point that it's not that the people are not created, just put straight into paradise or straight into fire. That's not the case. Allah put the people upon the earth, and He gave them a chance to act. It doesn't mean that people, just by a person intending good, it's not a negation of that, a denial of that. Rather, it's authentic in the hadith. If a person intends good and is prevented from performing it, then he gets the one reward. He gets the reward for that. So just making the point that Allah does not just put people into paradise without any actions, without their being put into the world first, just because He knew that they were going to be people who obeyed Him. So therefore He doesn't give them the chance to act on the world, He doesn't try or test them. And likewise the people of the fire, even though Allah knew that they would be people who disbelieved in Him, but Allah didn't just put them straight into fire, as create them and put them in the fire straight away, rather He gave them the chance upon the earth. Yeah, the kasra on the brother just pointed out in the Sheikh Al-Fawzan's printed version here, there's just a printing error on the point number 32, Amilun. The kasra is on the lam instead of on the meem. No. Point number 33. Yeah. With regard to point number 33, and the last line of the explanation, Sheikh made the point, so the servant, the person, فَالْعَبْدُ هُوَ الْمُصَلِّي وَالْمُزَكِّي. Again, the point that Sheikh al-Islam, the point that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah made in Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyyah, that the people who do the actions, they are the doers of their own actions, and the actions are ascribed to them. Contrary to the Jabariyya, those who say people don't really do the actions, that even if the actions are called the actions of the people, but they're not really doers of the actions, Allah makes them behave like robots, Allah makes them do the actions. So this is a point in refutation of the like of the Jabariyya. Sheikh al-Fawzan mentions that the person, he is the one who's responsible for his actions. Just because Allah knew what he would do, and just because Allah decreed, wrote down, Allah knew it, Allah decreed it, Allah knew it, Allah wrote it down, Allah willed that he would do it by his universal will, and Allah created the action, that doesn't mean that person is not an actual doer of his action and not responsible for it and not liable to punishment or reward if it's an action of good. So the Sheikh said, so the servant, he is the one who prays, he is the person who prays. He is actually one who prays. The person prays, he's not a robot. The person is the one who prays. And he is the one who gives the zakat. And the person is the one who performs hajj. And he is the one who fights jihad. So the actions are ascribed to him. The person's actions are ascribed to him. I mean, they're his actions, they're not somebody else's. Not ascribed to Allah. It's not said these are just actions of Allah which Allah makes that person do. He said, so the actions are ascribed to him, to the person who does them, not to Allah. Except, so make an exception here, meaning the person's actions are ascribed to the person who does them, and they're not ascribed to Allah except in this sense that follows. Except from the aspect of creation and knowledge and pre-decree and tawfiq, guidance to performance of them. In that person's actions, whose actions are they? They're the actions of that person. They're ascribed to him and he's responsible for them. And they're not ascribed to Allah. The person cannot come and say, like the Jabariyya say, I'm not guilty of my actions. Allah decreed that I would do them. Allah made me do these actions. I couldn't help it. I'm a robot. Yeah. No, The person's actions are ascribed to it. The person who does them, not ascribed to Allah. Except with regard to creation, meaning that Allah created that person and created his actions. But that doesn't mean Allah forced him to do them though. And except with regard to the knowledge, meaning that Allah knew that that person would commit them. And that Allah decreed that he would commit them. And that Allah guided the person to performing them. So in those aspects, then that's the only way that these actions can be ascribed towards Allah. Meaning the action that Allah knew, created them, knew about them, decreed them, and guided that person to performing them. But as for the person who did the actions, then the person did them. Who's responsible, then the person responsible. الكاف في كيف في ليس كمثله شيء قال الشيخ الفوزان هو للتأكيد يعني هل لهذا الكاف اسم كاف تشبيه see him afterwards inshallah جزاك الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.